Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and I am joined today by my three compatriots, John Butler, Chris Castain, and Ian Cusick. How you guys doing today?
Excellent.
Well, that's good to hear.
Just
well.
Ian, our two teams clash this week.
Indeed.
How you feeling about it?
This is I want to save it for really when we preview the game, but I'm feeling I don't know. I'm not as confident as I like to be, but you know, I'll never pick they're 16-0 every year in my eyes during the preseason.
That's a that's a that's not a bad move when you got Brady and Belichick. It gets increasingly depressing for me as we creep towards this game. Slowly the light is fading from my life. There is the I don't know why this game's still prime time. It just sucks that they make me just wait because like the longer the waiting is, the worse it is when they just eventually get slobber knocked by the New England Patriots. Anyways, that's
And
the
I agree with you
sadness.
there. I'm actually really surprised they haven't flexed it because they were able to start flexing games as of week five. I mean,
They haven't flexed any games. They made us sit through Dolphins Raiders. I don't understand it. Like last year, like every year they flex at least three games.
They're usually on top of it, but this year they
Maybe
just
you're
seem
going
to
to be
be
sitting through an
behind the eight
upset.
ball.
Please no.
I mean, it's with Brock Osweiler throwing for five touchdowns.
Listen, the schedule makers need to get fired as well because the Dolphins have been in prime time back to back to back weeks. That's
I didn't even
crazy.
realize that.
Thursday night
Wow, my
football,
biggest.
Sunday night football, Monday night football. It's insane. They're not a good team.
That's really my big issue. I think
Jay Cutler's one.
Oh, shut up,
No,
Chris.
he is a hot button issue. It is good for headlines in terms of that
Jay
because
Cutler
people.
is not good for the NFL. Jay Cutler's not a good quarterback.
But there's people. What I'm saying is Jay Cutler, you get it's either there's love or hate with him. There is no in between with anybody that I've ever met. It's either you hate Jay Cutler or you love him. And I think that's one reason is it gets people talking and arguing over it. So I think it's one reason they've been doing it, but I think they also expected the Dolphins to be more exciting this year.
Well, I for
Unfortunately, they
one
haven't
hate
reached
Jay
it.
Cutler.
I don't think anyone really love. Have you ever? I don't think I've ever met anyone that really loves Jay Cutler. My aunt is as big of a Bears fan as they come, and when Jay Cutler played for the Bears, she hated him. Oh my God, she said some of the nastiest shit about him. She said worse things about Jay Cutler than I have about Cyrus Jones, and that's really saying something.
God, who is Cyrus Jones?
He was the second round
Oh, was
draft
he
pick out of
the
Alabama that
was he
can't
the
play
guy that
quarterback.
he was no, that was Jonas Gray that ran for four touchdowns against the Colts and then immediately got cut.
Yeah, that was fun. That was really, I don't.
That was so weird. He never
Nah,
got a career
Belichick.
again.
You know what
That
it
was like
was? He had the
he had like
one.
a 300 plus yard, four touchdown game, and he got cut like the day after.
Nah, you know what happened?
What
So
happened?
this was 2014 against the Colts. Jonas Gray runs for 200 yards and four touchdowns, like fantasy performance of the year. And a few weeks go by, he doesn't really get in the headlines again until apparently he gets a hot head and starts talking back to Belichick. And we know
Ooh.
how Belichick is. He doesn't
Mistake
take care
number
of
one, do
anybody.
not be in
Especially
Nerdland
from an
near
undrafted
Belichick.
rookie who had one hot week and had been
Yikes.
irrelevant since. So he cut him, and Jonas Gray has been irrelevant ever since.
Yeah, that's an L for Jonas Gray for sure.
So,
Massive.
mentioning huge fantasy days, one of them that we saw last night was Larry Fitzgerald. He put up, what, 26 last night against the Seahawks, and a lot of it came after we saw Richard Sherman go down. Fitzgerald has been giving everyone a huge fantasy day his entire career. He reached 15,000 receiving yards, and he's the second youngest ever to do it. he's been one of my favorite guys to watch over his entire career.
Oh, absolutely. He's just such a fun player to watch. I get him in fantasy almost every year, and he's one of the most consistent guys in the NFL. Consistently in PPR can get me 15 points a week or something. So congratulations to him on the 15,000 receiving yards. The San Francisco 4th and Niners, thank you so much for your contributions to the team effort. And shout out to Doug Baldwin and Jimmy Graham. I'm not forgetting about you guys either because you guys came up huge last night.
But, Wait, why did the 49ers get a shout out? They played the Cardinals.
4th and Niners.
No, the San Francisco 4th and Niners.
Oh.
God, Eric, you're a dumbass.
I don't get that. I don't get that one. That's his
fantasy team name, if I'm correct.
Yeah, it is.
Well, look at that. Wait, is that in our Yahoo League or in the PSF 2K17?
It's a different Yahoo League that I'm in. It's in my $100 league, which I currently am 3-6.
Ooh. Hey, I'm rolling in our PSF 2K17 fantasy league. I got two losses. I'm moving right on up. I'm going for the championship, baby, and I suck at fantasy football.
You know, I just want to say before we move on to that.
You're not going to win that.
John and Chris, are you guys growing a little bit? Don't worry. There is some upside because I'm currently on a 2-game win.
Hey, so, got to get hot at the right time.
Exactly. So we're playoff bound.
You know what they say, got hot going into the fantasy playoffs.
Hell yeah. We're hitting our stride.
Well, that's good for you.
So, mentioning the playoffs, something that has to be addressed too is Richard Sherman's injury.
That is a thing that happened.
That was absolutely nasty last night. The fact that you could see him on the sideline going, it tore. I don't know what to think of the Seahawks now. And along with Dwayne Brown, that left tackle that they acquired recently, him going down, he seems like he'll be okay. He'll be able to return, but... What do you guys think of the Seahawks rest of the season? I don't have a lot of confidence in them after losing Sherman. It's going to rely on Wilson.
Yeah, it's really going to come down to that offense.
Let's call it like it is. They're done.
You think so?
Why are they done, though? Like, they're going to make the – like, in the sense of
– That was one of their best – that's their best defensive
Okay, hold on. Wait. Let's clarify what we're done.
Yep.
Done as in they don't have a chance to win the Super Bowl, or done as in a chance...
They don't have a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Okay,
that's been established.
I'd say that's more realistic. I thought you meant they were not going to the playoffs.
No, I still think the Rams are going to win that division either way, but I do think that they'll still get a wild card spot, but I don't see them... I don't even see them making it to the conference championship. They look like more of the a 10-6 team right now after the loss of Richard Sherman and then finding out about the other. I mean, it just doesn't look good. I said last week or 2 weeks ago that they were going to the Super Bowl. They're not going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it seems like our Super Bowl, my Super Bowl pick has just been fluctuating up and down, and its high point was certainly after the Texans game, but I think that game was a little bit of a fluke because the Seahawks, the offense and the defense look all like they did beforehand. Russell Wilson is playing amazing, though. Like that can't be like denied. Like the touchdown throw to Doug Baldwin, like how many quarterbacks can make that throw? That's like a throw that you make.
That's more luck.
Oh, yeah. It's not one that you see many guys be able to do. Rodgers is probably one, and Breeze probably could as well. I think that's about the only other guys in this league that could right now.
Moving on.
For me.
What do we got here, Chris?
For me, it's just I don't think the offense can carry that defense. Or I don't think the offense can carry that team at all. They haven't been able to carry him so far this year, and to lose Richard Sherman, one of your best players on defense, I don't see it.
Well, and especially too, Sherman takes away one whole side of the field, allowing Chancellor and especially Earl Thomas to roam the middle and the other side. It's going to be interesting to see how they bounce back from it, but I have no confidence because that defense was struggling as it is.
Moving on to our first down, War segment title in progress. we're trying a new kind of little peek behind the curtains. We're trying a little new segment talk. So this is first down, folks. These are just some bad games that we want to get through. The first one I see on here, I'm going to make a case that it could be kind of interesting. The Steelers at the Colts. Now, I know you guys are going to laugh me out of the building, but I don't know. This just feels like one of those games where it's one of the games where the Steelers are going to play down to the competition on the road, and Jacoby Brissett's been playing pretty well. And I don't know, maybe the Colts will keep this close. Maybe this is I feel like this is kind of a trap game for the Steelers. I think the Steelers, I picked the Colts to win this game in our PSF pick'em, and I know that's crazy. But, I mean, I don't think it's that crazy to say that I don't think this is going to be a blowout by any means. I think that if the Steelers win this game, it's going to be by a touchdown.
I got to disagree with you, and so does Vegas. Vegas has the Steelers as a 10-point favorite. And all I hear when you talk about Jacoby, oh, Jacoby, you're so great. I mean, I get where I see the potential.
Do I really sound like that?
I know you have Jacoby Brissett love. Yeah. I know you do.
Sing-songy voice?
Yes.
I'm quite flattered, to be honest with you. But I
can see where you're coming from, because the Steelers have always been bad on the road, and a lot of that lays on Ben's shoulders. But the biggest storyline going into this game is the fact that the Colts are without Vontae Davis. Not only did he go to IR, they cut him because he felt disrespected by Chuck Pagano. And so even without him, they were not going to have him for this game regardless. And the way that Smith-Schuster and Brown have been playing, even though Bryant should be the wide receiver two on paper, Smith-Schuster's absolutely taken that spot. And Le'Veon Bell has been very, very good this year. I just don't see any way that defense is able to stop the Steelers. And if actually looking at it, if you look back from the 2016 starting defense to now, every single position is a different starter. They have absolutely cleaned house on that side of the ball.
Yeah, that's insane. I heard that this morning, actually, on another football podcast I listened to. That's insane that like they have almost zero of their defensive starters that they started with last
year.
A
year and a half ago.
Yeah, so let's pick this game. I'm taking, despite what I said, I'm taking the Steelers, but it's going to be close. And Chris, who do you got here?
I have the Steelers by 10 points. I think they're 10-point favorite for a reason. The Colts are just a bad football team. Jacoby Brissett, like, you're overrating him, but what's new? I just think this is a much improved. This is a much improved Steelers defense, and this is why I have them representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. You can't lose a game like this and represent AFC in the Super Bowl. I'm picking the Steelers by 10 points.
Listen, when Jacoby Brissett is the face of a franchise somewhere in the NFL in 5 years, don't come crying to me because I called it. All right. Ian, all right. Who you got?
What's it?
I mean, I think it's pretty easy to say that the Steelers are going to win this game. As much of a Jacoby Brissett lover I am, because, you know, he is the truth. But I just don't see this Colts season is over, man. I don't see them pulling
stop
it off.
With this.
I don't see them beating the Steelers team, because the Steelers, you know, there's a reason why they're the number one team in the AFC right now. Now people.
So you're taking the Steelers, right?
I am taking the Steelers, yes, by seven.
Bold prediction here. If the Steelers win this game, which we all think they will, I think Chuck Pagano is fired this week. I think they fire him this week.
I'll take the Steelers in this game. I don't think they fire him, because you actually don't see a lot of midseason firings for football, just because it's not going to change a whole lot. So it's a bold prediction.
I feel like he and Ben McAdoo are the most likely to get fired within the next 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's.
I don't think he'll. Pagano will be fired because Andrew Luck is out. I think they'll give him a little while longer. Give him the benefit of the doubt because he's gone at the end of this season, right?
You don't think he lasts longer than this season?
He should have been gone last season, but.
Do you think they're going to keep him one more offseason? I think Jim Irsay is an idiot, but I don't think he's that much of an idiot.
I don't think Jim Irsay has anything to do with the hiring of and firing of Pagano.
He's the owner. Yeah, he sure doesn't.
He doesn't make the executive decision, though.
Yeah, he does. He was the guy that fired Ryan Grigson.
Really?
Yeah. That's how football teams work. Well, you know that, right? The owners hire and fire the GMs and coaches most of the time because they own the football teams.
Remember this, though. Chris Ballard is the Colts GM. He just came into power earlier this year. So I guarantee he doesn't want
Chuck Pagano. They're going to fire him at the end of the season, guaranteed.
I'd say there's a 75% chance that he does not last.
I'd say there's a 100% chance. I'm locking it up. Chuck Pagano gets fired at the end of the season. Moving on to our next game, which is pretty much a lock. It'd be cheap to lock it up, though. Lions, Browns. I think I speak for all of us. I'm taking the Lions.
I've got the Lions. 10.5-point favorites for a reason.
Yeah, the Lions will cover.
Yeah, this is just – it's – the Browns are a dumpster fire.
The one thing I will say about the Lions' schedule, it's very, very easy from here on out. Here's the quarterbacks that they will face for the rest of the season. They have Kaiser this week. They get Trubisky, Keenum, Flacco, whichever Tampa Bay quarterback is on the field. Trubisky again. They get Dalton, and they get – Humley for Green Bay.
Yeah, that is a cake schedule. I will add that the two guys you mentioned after this week, yeah, those guys aren't highlight quarterbacks, but those guys have highlight defenses.
Oh, I know. And I agree with that. And I think I'm not
I bought in on this Detroit Lions offense way too early. I'm not rebuying back in until they put up points on the Bears and Vikings. Like,
we'll talk more about those teams, but just the fact that they don't have to put up 40 points a game will be very interesting for the NFC North.
Yeah, for sure. Moving on.
Chris. No, go ahead.
Can we move on, or is there actually more interesting things to talk about in this game? Because I don't see anything.
No, move on.
Jets, Buccaneers. I would have put this in kind of interesting ones because I feel like the Jets are the kind of team that would come in and lose this game. And not only because they're the Jets, but I think that – I know this sounds crazy, but Ryan Fitzpatrick, when he's played for them, when he almost led them to a comeback in Arizona. Like, I'm kind of like Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't a good quarterback, but he's a good bring him in for six games quarterback, and he can win you some games. I originally took the Jets, but I don't know. But this feels like a trap game to me. I'm taking the Buccaneers here.
I've got the Jets in this game.
Why?
It's that passing defense. It is absolutely miserable. They cannot stop anyone. And yes, Jeremy Curley is suspended for 4 games, but Robbie Anderson is the truth. He will be putting up yards after yards, and I don't see that Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense stopping anyone. I'm going the Jets.
Yeah, I don't really see Tampa Bay doing that much. Tampa has been probably the most underwhelming team in the NFL so far. Especially with all the hype they had, you know, Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson was going to be the wide receiver combo of the year, but that didn't pan out. Jameis Winston, I thought he was going to have a real, like, prove it year this season that he was the real deal. Started off nicely, really cooled off, and he's injured now. So we got Ryan Fitzpatrick, who isn't that great of a quarterback. I just really don't see Tampa doing much to a Jets team that's been actually pretty good this year.
So,
yeah, I don't really see the competitiveness in this game at all. I just, the Bucs' defense is bad. It's not historically bad, but it's not far from. And the Jets just, for me, that I just think Josh McCown will play better than Ryan Fitzpatrick, and because we don't know which Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to show up. We've seen a terrible Ryan Fitzpatrick and a good Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm counting on the terrible, and I'm going to pick the Jets by 10.
All right, moving on to the next game we have here, which is Ian and I's, as we aforementioned, both our games. But I'm going to throw this to Chris first, because Chris, you DM'd me and tweeted at Ian that you said Tom Brady will throw 3 interceptions in this game. That's bullshit. And I'm going to call you on it right now. I am the biggest Broncos fan ever. I hate the Patriots probably more than I hate any sporting institution on planet Earth. And I know Tom Brady plays badly in Denver, but this defense gave up last week. And I truly think that I know you guys, when TJ Ward got cut, were like, oh, it's no big deal. He's like a top – he's not a top five safety anymore. Without TJ Ward, they have been very suspect at the back really since week 3. And the pass defense, like on the corners, is there, but it's not there down the middle of the field anymore. And the Patriots got Gronk. This is the Gronkowski like 4 touchdown game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like this does not in no way, shape, or form, in zero scenarios, does this end well for the Broncos. Why do you say
I see this being a competitive game.
It won't be. You're wrong. Why? Why?
Okay, two words.
I just
let Ian handle this.
Two words. Okay. Eric, do you remember who shut down Von Miller in the game last season where the Patriots came in Denver and won 16-3?
I'm not arguing with you.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm not arguing either.
I think you're right. I think Von Miller will get shut down. It is shocking.
No, he won't.
I think he might have 2 or 3 sacks.
Hold on. Von Miller is going to have a good game this week because Marcus Cannon is already ruled out. Marcus Cannon is the best offensive lineman on the Patriots, and it is not close.
You can't do this to me, man. You can't. This is how it is every single week. People are like, oh, the Broncos have a chance to win. And then I get my hopes up, and I'm like, oh, yeah, Brock Osweiler isn't that bad a quarterback. And I'm like, oh, my God, why are you still starting?
This is a trap game for the Patriots.
No, it's not. It's not a trap game for the Patriots.
Yes, it is.
Oh, no, it's not.
this is a trap game
for the
Patriots.
I can't believe
Tom Brady always plays bad in Denver.
But Chris, stop being an idiot. Like, this is a worse take than your Dolphins take. This is not a trap game for the Patriots.
Okay, here. Let me mediate a little bit here. I can see why.
Because let me tell you something.
Okay.
This isn't a trap game for the Patriots. End of story.
But I see where he's coming from.
I'm taking the Patriots.
I'm taking the Patriots.
Give me my point.
Your point's wrong, but go ahead.
Tom Brady always plays bad in Denver. That's one reason. That's the main reason. I think this is a trap game.
Pick for Broncos. Do it. Pull the trigger, man.
Pick the Broncos.
All right.
Broncos by 3.
You got to lock it up? Is this going to be your lock of the week?
No, I'll call it the upset of the week.
I don't know. I'd go with a lock if I were you.
So no, you sound confident. You should go with the lock.
I'm not going to. Will you let me lock up the Patriots here? Because that seems cheap to me, but I'll do it. And that's my lock of the week. I'm locking the Patriots. Let's go.
I see where he's coming from because Brady last year, threw only under 200 yards and took two sacks, no touchdowns, no interceptions. But this Broncos defense is struggling, and I'm with you, Eric. They have so many issues on the defense, and especially Osweiler under center. Belichick's going to know how to get to him. I've got Gronk with like two touchdowns leading this game. It's going to be all Gronk and the Patriots. It's my pick.
Eric, so lock up a minimum score. By how much, at a minimum, will the Patriots win by?
I'm going to say at minimum, they'll win by 14.
Okay.
That's what I'll go.
You'll be wrong.
That is what I'll go with. And very quickly here, Texans Rams a few weeks ago, this was good, but let's just hurry up here really quick and just go around and pick the game. I'll take the Rams.
It's the Rams, no question.
Yeah, there's not much discussion here. I'm taking Rams by 20.
I'd be taking the Rams even if Deshaun Watson was playing.
All right. Okay. Second down. Title in progress. Let's get right into this second down that we have right here. It's a great down, second down. The most useful down and technically most, I think, the most important down in football. I won't lie to you. But we had a little bit more interesting games. Bengals at the Titans. I see this game here, and I don't understand why it's here. I'm going to ask the man who put the script together why it's here. Jum, why is this game of any interest to us?
To me, it's a lot of interest just because of the fact that the Titans, neither team has really been dominant at any point in the season. It's the fact that they're both competing for a playoff spot at this point. And I wanted to see your thoughts because of the fact that the Bengals have started to look better. Yeah, they played the Jaguars last week. Everyone looks bad against the Jaguars this year. And the Titans have started to come back. They need to get rolling if they want to make a playoff spot because they have a chance in the AFC. That's why. And I expect it to be a close game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think the Bengals are done. I think they get like worse and worse every single week, it seems. I'm taking the Titans here.
I don't know. Neither of these teams look particularly great this season. I know the Titans, I believe, have the AFC South as like the projected top seed right now due to tiebreakers with Jacksonville, but I don't expect that to last at all because Jacksonville's been a way hotter team. But in this game, Cincinnati has just not been good. Tennessee has been better than not so good. So I'm just going to pick Tennessee here. Not a great game, to be honest.
I'm going to pick the Titans here. I've seen improvement in the Titans offense and the offensive line. I still think that they're one of the top top offensive lines in the league. They'll be able to pound the ball against the Bengals this week. The Bengals secondary's been iffy, but I don't see the competitiveness in this game either. I'm going to take the Titans by 7.
I'm going opposite of all you guys in this one. And actually looking at it, I did go Bengals in our pick'em, and I'm going to stick with that pick. I have no faith in the Titans defense, and as long as AJ Green is out there, he will be a force to be reckoned with. I expect Joe Mixon to get a ton of carries, so I'm going Bengals.
Did you hear Jalen Ramsey, though? That guy's weak.
I like, know.
He's past his prime. And guess what, John? Guess what? He was spitting facts. He was spitting facts. It's true. He's weak. He can't handle them anymore. I don't know. I think there's real concern. I think there's real concern about AJ's career right now.
Trust me, I love Jalen Ramsey, but AJ Green didn't look so weak when he had him in a chokehold.
Stop it.
Let me tell you something. I am like, if you have a chance, like Jalen Ramsey, like that soundbite, like people only play 30 seconds, but he like just talks about it for like a good 4 minutes. If you want to go look it up, it's quite fantastic. Like just total, like he's like, listen, I don't disrespect people's families or their wives or their children, but guess what? You're weak and you don't have it anymore. And he says you're weak like 5,000 times. And it's quite interesting. Like I could listen to Jalen Ramsey talk for hours on end. He's a fascinating guy.
Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the NFL commercials they've been doing this year with Dez, with Josh Norman.
Yes.
They're doing the interviews. It reminded me exactly of that, but it wasn't a commercial. It was real life. And I was so blown away that he was talking smack, but he deserves it. He's been locked down.
You know who Jalen Ramsey is?
Who?
Jalen Ramsey is the new Richard Sherman.
He's better than Sherman because Sherman locks up a side of the field. Ramsey tends to shadow guys.
No, but just like personality-wise.
Yeah,
like,
I agree with that. I can see where you're coming from.
He's the new Richard
Sherman. Close. It's close.
He's the new Michael Crabtree is the worst receiver in the game.
Yeah.
Like you gotta give him credit for that. Moving on to our next game. See, John, that's the sign of a bad game. If we talked about Jalen Ramsey for that long instead of the Bengals or the Titans, that means the game's probably bad. Green Bay at Chicago. John, you got a question for us.
Absolutely. So we know that Brett Hundley has not looked good so far this year. Trubisky hasn't looked great, and a lot of that I think is based on them facing good defenses with no receivers. The Bears have Marcus Wheaton and Dontrell Inman worked into the offense this week. The biggest question I have for you guys, which quarterback between Hundley and Trubisky will throw more passes in this game? Not completions, but just pass attempts. Both these teams will want to run the ball this week, but who throws more this week? Who do you think?
Hundley, because I think Aaron Jones is really good. I'm really high on Aaron Jones. But I think the Bears' running defense is going to – like, I think Aaron Jones might get one or two big gainers to start the game and have a good first quarter. But I think throughout the game, the Bears' run defense is going to shut him down. Like, I think he might have a good quarter or two, but then they're going to figure out a way to clamp him down. And they're going to be forced to throw the ball a little bit more. So I'd say Hundley because – and then on the other end, who does Green Bay have that can stop? Like, they're just going to – like, John Fox is going to run Jordan Howard, like, 30 times this game. That's my thought.
Yeah, it's I think to answer your question, John, I think it really depends on what kind of game John Fox has in mind for Trubisky. If we're going to see another one of those games where Trubisky's throwing like 4, 8, 11 passes, you know, obviously I think Hundley will have more. But frankly, I think that they're going to try to integrate him more into the offense. He's starting to show a little bit more poise as a passer when, you know, he's getting opportunities to pass. So I believe that if it's a normal game and Trubisky looks like, you know, college Trubisky, I think Trubisky will get the more passes.
I think Hundley will. Now, there's a different. I think Trubisky would have more success throwing more passes, but I think Hundley will end up having more passes in the end. I just don't. I think. Oh my goodness.
Trubisky.
The noise. I don't think that Trubisky will end up. I think John Fox will have put a game plan that has Jordan Howard running more, like Ian and John said. I just don't see it, but I think he'd have more success because I don't trust Green Bay secondary. I don't trust their defense.
I'm in agreement with that last statement that you made. I don't trust Green Bay's defense. They've been giving up 8 yards per pass attempt. And that is terrible. I mean, the fact that you're giving up almost a first down every single time a team is passing is not good. I'm going with Trubisky in this one, and I'll tell you why. There was an interview I heard from Dowell Loggins talking about this game specifically. Trubisky went and they were watching all of his pass attempts earlier this year up to this point. And the biggest thing is that a lot of the guys, when they were trying to pass, were covered. But the biggest thing is finding where guys are going to be open. And I really believe Dowell Loggins specifically said, we want to throw more. They couldn't throw because they didn't have Dontrell Inman in their offense until now. Marcus Wheaton was out for the last 4 or 5 weeks because of the groin injury. And the fact that you're able to toss two, even though they're replacement level receivers, they are still NFL actual receivers compared to what they've had. So I honestly see Trubisky throwing more in this game just because Dowell Loggins is going to want to open up the playbook. The real question does come down to Fox and whether he's going to be that hindrance. But I think we see Trubisky do real Trubisky things like we saw against Baltimore in that overtime. I think Trubisky's going to throw more passes because they want to get him that opportunity. So who do you guys have in this game? I'm going Bears. I'm a Bears fan, and I cannot trust Hundley at this point, especially against the Bears defense.
Yeah, I see your point. I wouldn't be surprised if Trubisky threw more passes, but I would. At the same time, I would. Like, I think Trubisky will throw more passes than we've seen him throw. I think he'll have, like, 20. But I think they're going to run the ball down Green Bay's throat. Because Green Bay can't stop a run either. And Jordan Howard hasn't had a big game in a few weeks. So I think they want – and he's coming off the bye, so his legs are fresh. It wouldn't shock me if we saw a lot of Tariq Cohen in this game as well. Like, I don't know. I think the Bears do win, though. I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Chicago Bears here. They look like the better football team right now. Without Aaron Rodgers, this Packers team is borderline awful. Honestly, I think they're a top 10 worst team in the NFL right now. When Rodgers isn't playing. With him being out for the rest of the season with that shoulder injury, I don't have any faith for the rest of the season.
For me, this is a very important game for Chicago's future. You need to win this game against a Green Bay team that's not very good. It's actually bad, very bad. I would agree with you when you said a top 10 worst team, because that's Green Bay. Their defense isn't good. I have questions about it, and then Brett Hundley, he's not Aaron Rodgers, and that's what that team needs to win. So I'm going to take the Bears. This shouldn't be close. It'll probably be about a 10-point game, but this is a very important game for the Bears' future.
Moving on to our next game, Giants at 49ers. No word yet on Jimmy Garoppolo. If he's going to play in this game or not. Bunch of backlash, and we'll get to the PSF game of the week debate a little bit later. I got something to say about that, but there were a bunch of people who wanted to write about this game for some reason, and I didn't understand that. But, I mean, someone's got to win this game, I guess. We don't know if Jimmy G starts.
No, so, they did say that C.J. Beathard will start this game. It doesn't mean we won't see Garoppolo.
C.J. Beathard. That's the correct pronunciation of his name.
You know his dad was actually involved in the NFL for a long time, right?
Probably, but that's still what he should be known as. It's just a great last name. Solid last name. So, John, again, you did a great job writing this script, and I said that when you first put it out. But as I see these games that you say are, quote, interesting, I don't understand why this game got into the, quote, interesting part. What do you find interesting about this game?
I remember you mentioning this during the week, the biggest thing is that I find this game interesting is the offense of the Giants has been really, really bad this year. The 49ers haven't been able to stop the run. So maybe they're able to, the Giants are able to get the ground game going this week. But the biggest thing, and I remember you mentioning, do we see Garoppolo in the fourth quarter just to get him some time? What do you guys think?
Ooh, I like that.
Probably not
that.
This
I week. I like how I thought he might come in against Arizona. I like yeah. that one. I could see, I think it would really have to be a blowout in the Giants' favor, so I doubt it, honestly.
It won't be. It will not be a blowout in the Giants' favor.
Won't be a blowout at all. I think this game's going to be terrible to watch, to be honest with you. I don't understand why anyone... I don't know. Both these...
Because it's so bad. Because it's
like,
so...
Against bad offenses, like the way the Giants are playing, the 49ers' defense is okay. And the 49ers defense has been good all year. Not great, but good enough to, if they had a good offense, they wouldn't be losing their offense games. I don't know.
I think the main thing for the 49ers is the quarterback position. You are starting a backup talent quarterback, and you have been all season, so... As far as that, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo starts because I think this will be a competitive game, and I see the Giants, like the 49ers, being up by 7 to 10 points, and they're not going to put Jimmy G in there to when they're leading in a football game in the fourth quarter. And as far as your Eric, as you were saying that this why is this an interesting game, it's an interesting game because both teams are so terrible, and this is so evenly matched in my opinion. I just think that I favor the 49ers. Offensively, I trust the 49ers a little more than I trust the Giants.
Yeah, I'm picking the 49ers in this one, just case in point, because the Giants have just been awful, terrible, atrocious. I can toss in another half a dozen words to describe this Giants team that isn't exactly professional or appropriate, so I'll just leave it at that. But, the 49ers haven't exactly been much better, but I feel like if C.J. Beathard starts to suck, Jimmy Garoppolo can come in and do Jimmy Garoppolo things. So I'm going to pick the 49ers just because I think it's a better pick. I don't know how much of a better pick it is, but I can't pick the Giants anymore. It's frustrating for them.
Well, I think it comes down to the fact that the Giants are more dysfunctional than the 49ers are at this point. I mean, the Giants are a complete mess defensively, offensively, front office, coaching, you name it, and they're dysfunctional at that position, and that's really why I'm taking the 49ers. This is a mess.
I'm going to agree with you.
This team could be historically bad.
I'm going to agree with you, and especially the fact that a source from inside the locker room came from the Giants and said, Ben McAdoo has lost this team. The fact that he has that coming out of the locker room is terrible for that team. And we've also heard rumors of Ben McAdoo possibly sending in a backup quarterback later this season, obviously when it's all out of reach. And the reason I've got this under an interesting game is because this is one of the worst combined matchups that we have seen in a long time. The fact that these teams combined yep. are 1-16 is just insane, just because of the way the NFL is. I'm going to go the 49ers because of what you guys said, the fact that they are less dysfunctional, they have much more fluidity. I don't think we see Garoppolo in this game because it's going to be close, but I expect Garoppolo in Week 10.
I want to say, Eric, you first, my bad. I thought we were moving on to the next game.
Go.
Okay, so my thinking is, in this game, I would not be surprised if this game ended with a tie because these teams are so terrible that that the football gods did not want either team to win this game.
Honestly, that's fair. That would be great, and I'm going to steal that. I'm picking a tie.
Is that your lock of the week, Eric?
It sounds like it.
Zero lock of the week. Remember back a few weeks ago, I locked up. Do you guys remember a few weeks ago I locked up some two teams were playing and I locked them up in like a 13-13 tie? I'm going to go a little bit lower scoring. I think this is 12-12 tie. Field goal kicker matchup. Nightmare in overtime. Lots of missed field goals in overtime. But we'll see what happens. Moving on to a game that I will just quickly say something on and pick because I can't believe it's here. Dolphins-Panthers, not a good game because the Dolphins are a bad team and the Panthers will win by 14 points. And honestly, I don't have the energy nor the wherewithal to tell Chris how bad the Dolphins are today. So I'm just going to sit back quietly and see what happens. But I'm taking the Panthers by 14 points, and I think Cam Newton throws for 4 touchdowns in this game.
You're disqualified from picking Dolphin games.
All I got to say is, Roger Goodell, stop giving shitty teams primetime games. Jesus Christ. That's all I have to say. Panthers by 5.
The Dolphins will win this game. I know I'm going to get my flash. But anyway, the Dolphins will win by about 3 points. Panthers have been fairly inconsistent. I know they're 6-3, but that meaningless in my opinion. I saw a better Dolphins offense last week, and I know the Raiders defense is terrible. I'll give you that, but I still like what I saw, and then I'm just going to pick the Dolphins by 3.
Meaningless. What? They're a 6-3 team. How is that meaningless?
The offense has been miserable this year. They've been very inconsistent. Nope.
And who cares? The defense has been great, and it's Jay Cutler. Guess what? Jay Cutler's a bad quarterback, and I promise I won't get sucked into this, but I will. Let me tell you something.
Eric trusts a 3-1 team right now better than he
trusts. Here's how this is going to work. Jay Cutler is going to get shut out for the third straight time this year because, guess what? Panthers' defense is that good. Let me tell you something, Chris. You're the greatest man, but stop picking the Dolphins.
Somebody's got some energy to make me now about the Dolphins. You didn't 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, but when you said that 6-3 was meaningless, that – I don't know. That just got a little bit under my skin. Because a team's record is not meaningless. A team's record makes them who they are. So have we all picked this game?
I've got the Panthers. I think this is going to be a lot closer than we believe. I just don't have a lot of faith in Cam Newton, and especially since they got rid of Kelvin Benjamin. Christian McCaffrey's been very questionable. He's been getting catches, but not a lot of yards out of everything. I'm taking the Panthers, but I think this is a super close game. It's not going to be entertaining, but it will be close.
Hey, man, the Titanic still has to go. Moving on to third down, the title yet to be named. Third down, of course. We got to convert this, guys, or else we might have to punt. Third down. I think maybe we should just a little bit of live on-air workshopping. I think we should switch fourth and third down, which wouldn't make any sense. Because I feel like unless it's late in the game and like a game time situation, like fourth down is a punt. Like that's not an important down. Like
unless it's fourth and inches or fourth and one, it's late in the game.
Right. It's scenario wise. Like, third down is always important. Like, it's always crucial.
Here's my thought, though. Fourth down is the most important if you're trying to convert it, because otherwise you get rid of it. You're turning the ball over.
That's a good point.
My thought is the important game of the week.
let's get right into that, actually, because the first game we have to talk about here is Bills-Saints. And let me tell you, I thought I was sort of semi in charge of our NFL weekly pick'em. So when I said a week ago, hey, game of the week's going to be some Bills Saints, everyone was like, oh, okay. And then 2 days later, I had an insurrection come up against me, and a bunch of ne'er-do-wells told me, oh, no, we got to talk about 49ers-Giants. Oh, we got to talk about Cowboys-Falcons. Oh, no, now we got to settle on Vikings-Redskins as a game of the week. This is the true game of the week, and let me tell you why. Because the Buffalo Bills are undefeated at home, and the Saints have historically struggled on the road, which is a big game because this is really going to tell us who both of these teams are. If the Saints can win this game, they've already kind of broken out of the same old Saints narrative. They have a defense. They have a ball control offense. Now, if they can win on the road, I think that, like, I'm already bought into them, but if they can win on the road in an outdoor environment, in the cold, I think I am way, I'm 100, like right now I'm 75% in. If they win this game, I'm 100% in, and I think they could go to the Super Bowl. But right now I'm a little bit hesitant. For the Bills, this is a game where you say, all right, this Bills team has beaten a lot of bad teams, and they might be the worst winning record team. Because they get maybe, and this also will tell us if that loss to the Jets was a fluke or not. If the Bills can win this game, I think we're rightfully praising the Bills. But I think this is a prove it game for the Bills. They have to win this game. I'm taking the Bills in this one. It's gonna be my upset of the week too.
I'm gonna take the Saints in this one. They've been a really good football team lately. I don't think anyone's really going to say that they haven't. Marshawn Lattimore is winning Defensive Rookie of the Year. I really don't know what else to really say about this. The Bills have been good, not great. And then again, neither of the Saints haven't exactly been great either, but I think they're going to be the better team this week.
Yeah, I would agree with you as well. As far as the Saints being the better team. But I do think this is going to be a sneaky good game. I just don't see the it's so surprising because I keep on waiting. The Saints' defense is about to drop. Because we see it every season. The Saints just... I just didn't see it enough to where I thought that they would be better in the offseason. Besides Lattimore. But still, I still didn't see enough to make them look... to make me think that they would look this good on defense. And I just think they're going to shut down the Bills' offense. You have LeSean McCoy. He'll run for 100. He might run for 100 yards, but I just don't think Tyrod Taylor will be able to do enough to win this game. I have the Saints by 3.
The Saints' defense has been really mediocre against the run this year. Their DVOA, they are 26th in the league. So they're below league average against the run. Yeah. I think the Bills are going to put up some fight, but I think the Saints' defense is for real. The reason that I think that is Marshawn Lattimore has been shut down. Just like you said, Ian, he's going to win Rookie of the Year for defense. There's no way he's not. He's been absolutely insanely good from the second he stepped onto that field. And it's made such a big difference for that team because of the fact that he's able to shut down any receiver he goes against. He's probably going to draw Kelvin Benjamin this week, and we already know he's not fast. I don't expect him to be able to do much. And Lattimore has some very good blazing speed on defense. I've got the Saints winning this one, but something that I kind of want to introduce to this segment is what's the headline that we're going to see if you were to look up this game the next day? For me, it's going to be the fact that I expect the passing game to be very good, but I think it's going to be the Saints run game that's going to be the bigger surprise when it comes to Monday morning. I think Kamara and Ingram are going to be able to run the ball against the Bills, and it's going to be the fact that they're doing what they're doing is controlling the ball, like Eric said.
Yeah, I could probably agree with that.
Yeah, for me, it's going to be that Drew Brees can play average and the Saints still figure out a way to win on the defensive side of the football. I don't think Drew Brees will have a great game. I think he'll have one of those average, he'll throw for 250, a touchdown or two, maybe an interception. But he plays kind of average, and the Saints still figure out a way to win. We're going to be talking about that, and then we'll ask the question, are the Saints contenders with the defense?
But doesn't that kind of happen, like, every week? I feel like the last three weeks, like, he hasn't had, like, I'm looking at his stats now and realizing I'm immediately wrong, but I feel like the Bears game, he didn't put up tremendous stats. The Bucks game.
He really didn't.
Like, the Bucks game, he played okay, but he only had two touchdowns. Like, he hasn't had a, he's had one three-touchdown game this year. I mean, he's playing average right now. Like, he's putting up the yardage, though. He's
but
not
you have to look at the
teams.
You have to look. The Bucks aren't even. We can't even include the Bucks. In general, you have. This is going to be the Saints' first game against a decent team in a little while. So it's going to be nice to see what they do against the Bills.
I see where Eric's coming from, just because of the fact that it's a very different storyline than we've had, the past 3 years or so for the Saints, where it's, oh, Drew Brees threw for 400 yep. yards, carried the team. It's very weird to see the Saints as a ball control, balanced offense.
I guess I should probably give my headline, as I'm the only one that picked the Bills. It's probably going to be, I think the key to this game is LeSean McCoy runs for 150-plus yards. And I think the Bills' running defense is much better than we give it credit for. They've shut down some really good running attacks this year, and I think they'll be able to hold down Alvin Kamara a little bit. But I think the other headline will be this game's going to come down to the wire. I don't by any means think the Bills will win this by more than a possession. I think it might come down to like a last-second drive. Moving on to the next game we got here, the Chargers at the Jaguars. And I'll start with you, Chris. What's a headline for this Jaguars Chargers game, Chris? Or John?
For me, it's going to be the fact that this Jaguars defense continues to shut down every single offense that they see. AJ Bouye and Jalen Ramsey have been absolutely ridiculous. It's been video game numbers for them. The fact that they're able to go out there and shut down every single receiver that they've had a chance to go against. And from the moment that Jalen Ramsey was drafted, I've been excited to watch him. And it's just crazy that the money they spent actually worked out for them, because we usually don't see these huge contracts pay off for these teams, but that defense was absolutely rebuilt overnight over the offseason with Calais Campbell and AJ Bouye finishing up what that defense needed. And I think it's going to be the fact that Keenan Allen doesn't do much. Phillip Rivers struggles once against a very good Jaguars defense.
Yeah, this is where Chris and I differ. Chris is with the Miami Dolphins, and he'll pick them in games they have no chance in until the end of the year. He thinks they can beat the Patriots. I'm a realistic Chargers fan. I'm a realistic bandwagon fan. I think the Jaguars are going to win this game. I think that if there's a team that this is a prove-it game for the Jaguars. I know they're 5-3, but if they win this game, like, I believe in them much more. I think they could get – honestly, they don't have that hard a schedule for the rest of the year, and if their defense can continue to play the way it has, and if Blake Bortles cannot shoot them in the foot, I think this team could potentially get a first-round bye, to be honest with you. Just because of how mediocre I think the rest of the AFC is going to be. But I'm taking the Jaguars in this game. And I think that Blake Bortles kind of surprises us again. And I think he throws for 2 touchdowns, which I get isn't a massive headline. But that's a lot for Blake Bortles.
I'm going to agree with you that the Jaguars have a good game this week. But I'm going to say on the other side of the ball is going to be my big headline. Like John said, A.J. Bouye and Jalen Ramsey has been the dynamic duo of NFL cornerbacks this season. Last year we had Aqib Talib and Chris Harris. This season it's all about Bouye and Ramsey. I think Bouye and Ramsey both have a pick each, and the Jaguars roll to a victory over the very disappointing San Diego Chargers. That's right, I said San Diego, not Los Angeles. What are you going to do about it?
I have the Jaguars winning this game, but I have my concerns. I'm worried about the consistency of this Jaguars team, especially on offense. Their defense is legit. I know they're stacked on defense. Up and down the roster, they're stacked. The offense, one week they'll play great, and then the other week they'll play terrible. They'll basically not show up, so I'm very, very concerned.
I get your concern, but the LA Chargers have been terrible against the run, and this should be what we'll call, I guess, a comeback game for Leonard Fournette after missing one game thanks to injury and then the other for being inactive due to his missing of a team picture and meetings and appointments. But I've got the Jaguars winning this game handily.
Moving on to Cowboys at Falcons. This game quite interesting because of the fact that Ezekiel Elliott will not be playing today. That game.
And that's for me, it's nice to actually see that they came to a decision, the fact that it's finally going to stick. I think this is one of the reasons that people have been kind of tuning out from the NFL is because it's been dealing with this whole situation. And it's every single week. Monday, he's suspended again. Tuesday, he's not suspended. Wednesday, he's suspended. Thursday, he's not suspended and can play. It's something that we've been dealing with all season. And it's going to be interesting to see what that Cowboys offense does. And especially who takes over as the lead role back. Last I've seen, it's going to be Alfred Morris with Darren McFadden kind of getting more of the third down and change of pace back work. And I think, but honestly, I'm going to take the Falcons this week just because Elliott's out. I like Prescott and I have a lot of faith in him, but I think this might be the game that Julio finally gets back on track just because of the fact that he overmatches those Dallas defensive backs so bad by height and speed.
Yeah, I have the Falcons in this game as well, especially because I think it's going to take a while for Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris to find the chemistry with the Dak Prescott and the offensive line. I see it taking a week or two. As we know, Zeke's suspended for, 4 games at least? I heard he couldn't play till at least December the 1st, and seems unlikely that he would. So, yeah, I'm going to take the Falcons solely based on that. I still don't trust the offense. The play calling stinks. It's absolutely garbage. And that's really why I'm taking the Falcons. I don't trust the defense. This does not say I'm trust the defense. It's literally, I think it's going to take time for Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris to get the chemistry going in the offense.
I think that I'm taking the Cowboys because the defense, as you mentioned last week, has been better than we thought it would be. I think that it has been good enough to keep them in games. And I think that the defense can shut down the Falcons running game. And I think Matt Ryan's just not that great of a quarterback anymore. I wouldn't be surprised if this game is close. I don't think by any means it'll be a blowout, but I trust Dak Prescott right now more than I do Matt Ryan. So I'm taking the Cowboys.
I completely understand where you come with that. It's so weird just because everything kind of flips when Elliott is out. And unfortunately, we had to have our colleague Ian Cusick step out, but he had the Cowboys winning this game. I don't know if that was due to Elliott, as we picked it earlier in the week for our pick'em, but he's got the Cowboys.
Yeah, moving on to our final down and distance, folks. We are on our way to nearly the end of the show. All right, moving on, our final game this week is the Vikings and the Redskins, the PSF game of the week. An interesting little tidbit about this game. Teddy Bridgewater is active. No one really knows if he's going to start or not. Sounds like he probably won't. But this is a big game for both these teams. The Redskins need to win this game to keep pace with the
Lions,
the Cowboys, and the Eagles
in their own, and no, the Lions in their own division too. It's basically between the Lions Redskins. And those. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then the Vikings need to win, of course, to keep up with the Lions, because it's, as you were saying, John, basically between the Lions and the – oh, my God, I'm going to have to cut
this Vikings out. At this point.
Vikings and the Lions. So, yeah, John, take it away. Who you got in this game? I'm taking the Redskins just because I think they're playing hot right now. And I think they can win this game. It's in Washington, too, so I'm taking the Redskins.
Right now, I'm actually going to make this the lock of the week for me. And the reason I'm going to do that is I don't have a lot of faith in Cousins against his Vikings defense. His Vikings defense has been really, really good. And we've seen the Redskins struggle against good defense. The fact that Doxson and Terrell Pryor's really struggled this year, but Doxson, and who's the other wideout that they've got on the other side?
Washington.
Yeah, for Washington. You've got Doxson, and we don't know exactly what's going to happen with Jordan Reed and Vernon Davis.
Terrell Pryor.
You've got Terrell Pryor, but you've also got, who is that other wide receiver? I don't know. But it's the fact that a lot of what we've talked about over the past few weeks is the Redskins don't have the speed to really have that breakout offense, to have that offense that's going to threaten to put up 30, 40 points a week. They really have to be careful. Chris Thompson's probably their fastest player, and he's a running back that gets the passing yard work. But other than that, I just don't have faith in Cousins. He's had a good year, I believe 13 touchdowns to 4 interceptions last I looked, and he's been effective, but they just haven't been able to put up those points in chunks. Keenum has been safe with the ball. The Vikings